Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Caught Offside with Andrew Gunling and JJ Devaney.
Oh, yes. Caught Offside from just outside of New York City and from an apartment in Brooklyn, New York. Andrew Gunling and JJ Devaney on one of the weirder nights in recent U.S. soccer history. What's up, brother?
What an absolute effing disgrace of a performance. And somehow, because deserve is not a tangible entity in soccer, somehow the US are going in to this Nations League final.
Yeah.
Jamaica, I my heart goes out to you guys. Everything was against you, and you should absolutely be in the final. I mean, the CONCACAF referee pulling 5 minutes, the officials pulling 5 minutes out of their buttholes to make sure Johnny Big Team gets through, and you know, will obviously bring the crowd to what will probably be a showdown between USA and Mexico. So transparent. I don't want to hear Christina Uncle telling me how someone stepped off the pitch and that's where they got that extra time from. Absolute nonsense. That ball should have been, first of all, it should never have gone into the net. And it was the one corner in that second half that actually cleared the first row of defenders and found its way in. Christian Pulisic. I don't want to hear about Serie A's Christian Pulisic. He's having a great season. Couldn't get the ball off the ground most of the game. Running down narrow blind alleys, crashing into tackles. Joke performance, as far as I'm concerned. They stank. They absolutely stank. And if it wasn't for the head of one of Jamaica's defenders, it just flashed into the net. I had nothing but admiration for the way Jamaica went about that performance and nothing but contempt for the US, bar one or two players who we'll talk about. A joke. And the worst thing is, right now, as I sit here, we'll be hearing the flimsy, bland platitudes of a manager who, in my view, was minutes away from the chopping block. I think US soccer would have had to have a serious look at things prior to the... Such would be the outrage. I don't know if they always listen to US soccer fan outrage, but that was a rank performance. I cannot overstate how much. Felipe Cardenas tweeted, pick a worse performance under Bearhalter. And I mean full squad.
Yeah, with their A squad.
With their A squad. Maybe Canada away, where he substituted Pulisic out in the last
This is worse. Just purely, no offense to Jamaica, but that was Jamaica's B squad on U.S. soil. This was worse than Canada away.
And everything was worse about it. Like, you had nobody in Jerry World. Nobody until midway through the second half of that game when Mexico decided to come in. The Mexican supporters decided to come in. It was like the worst nightmare as the U.S. floundered and scraped and scratched with like 1,000% possession and could hardly work Andre Blake. And all these, oh, you know, they're doing really well in Europe kind of guys, couldn't find a coherent move. Absolute joke, comedy show. And it was, like I said, this nightmare scenario. It's like you're on a date with the love of your life and everything goes wrong. She hates you. All of a sudden diarrhea happens. And then all your family and all your friends and all your enemies are invited in to watch as you crash and burn on this date. As the stadium filled with the people who hate the U.S. men's national team the most.
Well, those were the people that got to see the good, the better version of the U.S. because they did show up at a certain point. All right, let's. Well, they did. I mean, yeah, but
yeah, I think
actual show here because you just basically you just handled everything in 3 minutes. You just touched on every single thing. Let's do an actual show where we go through things, talk about them.
I'm hopping mad. I had the knife. You know when you take. You know when you're about to record and you have the knives out after a game. You can't put the knives back sometimes. The knives stay out. And right now, the bland platitude, I'll wake up tomorrow morning even more enraged because I'll hear something from Greg that'll drive me absolutely stupid.
Well, I mean, look, you even attacked me before we started recording. You said, oh, I know what your take is going to be. I already know it. And look, that first of all, that is offensive. That's offensive. I would have to be some kind of rube to have watched that and come on this podcast and try to tell people to be happy. Because I know that I know that that is sometimes the way I go about it. Is American soccer fans complain a lot. And sometimes I do play the role of the guy who reminds them to be happy every once in a while. I will absolutely not ask American soccer fans to fake emotion after a game like that. You can be happy that the U.S. still have another game in this tournament and that they're going to be playing in a final on Sunday. I'm happy about that. I love this team. I want to watch them play more. I hate that they play so few effing games. So you can be happy about that. But look, by the way, there's nothing wrong with being mad at them or feeling just relief and not joy after a performance like that. Look at their celebrations to their goals. Now, look, they did go crazy after the equalizer, but as you would expect, that was literally the last touch of the ball. But look, Haji Wright's two goals. Go back and watch them. The celebrations are muted. You know, they know that that was a bad performance tonight. They know that that's not good enough, that they should be better than that. No one in that room is going to be proud of what they did in this game. So, yeah, how dare you think that I was going to come on here and tell American soccer fans, be happy, we won. We showed heart and courage.
No, I thought, that is insulting. I thought you'd be more, because I'm hopping mad, I thought you'd be more kind of in the guise of, well, you know, they got it done in the end.
Well, I mean, that is true. They did.
I can't take
it. I mean, they won. They won the game. You know, it's better to play like absolute crap and win than it is to play like absolute crap and lose. I'd rather win. I bet there are a lot of American soccer fans that might disagree with that tonight.
I honestly think the groundswell,
a greater good if there had been some kind of defeat tonight.
I think so. The groundswell in 80 minutes amongst our listeners were all right. I'm not happy if we lose, but
that's where I can't quite get to that. I'm always going to root for them to win.
No, it's more I'll accept this scenario. Because we need to look at this thing again. And look, I don't blame Greg Berhalter entirely either.
So can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Because I do have some thoughts on that.
By the way, I hate the way I sound right now, but, you know, I sat down, I was into it, and just from the beginning, it annoyed me. And I do think that if I hadn't been hearing all this stuff about what a great time it is for Americans in Europe for the last 3-6 months.
True. This doesn't change that.
Let's.
What an absolute.
I think the phrase that was going through my mind, but just about the hype around this team was what someone once said about a, who turned out to be a very good player, but they said it about Daniel Sturridge, so they were wrong, but the phrase still holds water. If he's half as good as he thinks he is, he's twice as good as he actually is. So, like, just, I feel as if there's, and I'm part of it too. I think we're way overhyping this side. I think this side showed its true colors tonight, and it is bang ordinary.
Well, and that right there is the, that is why it's good that they're still in this and have another game Sunday, because they do have a chance to in some way prove people wrong who feel that way right now, because I'm sure you're not alone. The Berhalter and versus players, like that whole part of it. First of all, a couple of thoughts on that. There is a very weird, uncomfortable irony to the fact that Gio Reyna coming on and playing as well as he did might have saved Greg Berhalter's job. There's just something very awkward about that. I don't know if it's true. I don't know that Berhalter would have been fired if they had lost this game.
I don't think so either. I think I just said that in the heat there at the start
but it would have been as close as he's ever been.
We know there would be conversations, because in the summer, it's important for U.S. soccer that the team are not humiliated, you know, and the standard of, I expect the standard of what they'll face in Copa America is going to be many times higher than what they just faced tonight.
Mm-hmm. Which is a shame. We were excited about this matchup with Jamaica. We thought, okay, this is a clear country on the rise.
But they're in turmoil.
But yeah, we came to find, I mean, obviously they had players who weren't available, whether through suspension or injury. And thanks to Leon Bailey, we found out a whole hell of a lot more, which we'll get to a little bit later on. I want to stick with the U.S. for now. But the other side of the Berhalter versus players thing, look, I am not going to get in the way of anybody who's got issues with Greg Berhalter tonight. However, you do know me, you, JJ, and you out there, everybody listening, and you do know that I do trend towards player. I never want to minimize the impact of the player. And I think sometimes coaches get too much credit. I think sometimes coaches get too much blame. With regards to tonight, look, this was, the U.S. lacked creativity. They were, you know, it was hard to watch. We all saw the same thing. However, like, sometimes you do have to look at the players. There were two must-score moments for the U.S. in that first half. You can say whatever you want about the rest of the game, that they were crap, that they couldn't move the ball, that, you know, that the passing was lateral and backwards and showed no create. That's fine, and that's all true. But they had two moments that fell to two players that we think highly of, you know, that are super. I mean, Pulisic obviously being one of them. You know, Balogun makes a pass to him. Maybe Balogun's ball should have been a little more in front of Pulisic, so he could have run into it
earlier and in front.
But Pulisic's our best player, and he takes an extra touch. And that moment, a 3-on-2 with Pulisic getting the ball centrally, it's a must score moment. Shortly after that, Tim Weah plays one across to Malik Tillman, who's been one of the most informed U.S. players there are. He's been one of PSV, the team that's going to waltz to a title this year. He's been maybe their player of the season. You know, Tim Weah cuts one back to Tillman, yards out? I mean, it's a must-score moment. Like, so, yeah, Berhalter, there are real deep concerns, sure. But, like, look at some of these players. Yeah, you know, I saw before kickoff, I think it was Tactical Manager on Twitter. He noted that Miles Robinson is the new Aaron Long from the perspective of American fans. And you can see it. I mean, the second that lineup went up, people were taking aim immediately at Miles Robinson's inclusion. Then the first minute happens. Jamaica scores a goal. I mean, look around at who's at fault. It's not Miles Robinson. It's guys that we're supposed to be relying on. Anthony Robinson completely gets one wrong after the throw-in. Gifts Jamaica the ball in a dangerous spot when he mishits it. And then one gets lobbed over and Joe Scally isn't following his man. And now it's an easy header in for a goal. Like, so,
I mean, Turner should do better as well. Let's be honest.
Maybe, I don't know.
Oh, to me, absolutely.
It's more Robinson. I look at Robinson. I look at Scally.
Back into the net with this.
Yeah. You know, like later on, Chris Richards, what the hell's he doing? Falling asleep, letting a guy run right by him and go in for a breakaway. That should have been lights out. That should have been game over. So
Cephas.
Like, you know,
Cephas, yeah.
Everybody
can like, run.
Again, be mad at Berhalter. That's fine. But don't let that come at the expense of being mad at some of these players that we all think so highly of. And I still do. And I think that they can reprove to people on Sunday that no, we're good. This is the same team that dominated Jamaica in the Nations League semifinal last time around. Like they can still show that to people. They can show that their European form can translate to this. But tonight, it wasn't just Berhalter. Guys who you trust and rely on dropped the ball in a big way and made their manager look bad. Because if you score those two must-score moments in the first half, it's a different game. It just is. And they blew it.
I thought, just to go to the Jamaican goal as well, it's so well worked. It's a clear, as was pointed out by Jesse Marsh, it's a clear move from the training ground throw.
I guess. I mean, if Anthony Robinson does what he's supposed to do, it never happens.
I know, but like... That is true.
He whiffs on one. Like he should clear that instantly.
He does whiff on it, but there's two runners, and and they receive the ball where they're supposed to. The cross is lofted. The problem for, and there's actually really, really good movement between Lee and another Jamaican player in the box, where one steps in and then steps out, pulls a defender. And it's the case where Scally doesn't know where to go. Now, he should see that late run by Lee. And all you got to do is jump up and challenge with him. You have to challenge with him. But Lee gets the run on him, and it's a firm header, and it's in the back of the net. It's so funny. One of the great moments of the game, which there were so very few. Right as the ball is hitting the net, just like seconds beforehand, Tony Meola goes, "I expect Jamaica to not take any chances."
Yeah.
You know, now that's another thing as well. Tony Meola's thinking was Greg Berhalter's thinking. And Meola, you know, on commentary with Chris Whittingham, he kind of constantly was shocked by what Jamaica did, because Jamaica didn't sit in. Jamaica had a plan. And for a long while, they outthought Greg. So what the US thought, and clearly what the commentary team thought, was they're going to sit off. They're going to sit off from the beginning. But no, they didn't. They had a press. And the US, that's one of the real annoying things now, Andrew. The US struggled so much to play through the press. Now, when they did, they could get on a run. They had a lovely drive by Robinson, actually. I think he gets it off to, who was it in the center? I think it was to Tillman. There's a ball played out wide to Tim Weah, who was really, really poor. And he overhits across. But you could see like what they were doing, and they were targeting Scally. Like, that's as bad a performance. That's as bad a 45 minutes as you'll see from anyone in US shirt. Yellow card, targeted all the time. Just really struggled. Then you had Yunus Musa, who, in fairness, I believe is observing Ramadan, so he's not. He would be fasting. A lot of giveaways. Not a great performance for him.
I thought Tillman, this was a big opportunity for him with Tyler Adams not fit to start, and Tillman in the form that he's in. I mean, that was my only tweet pre-match. I was really pumped to see him have a real opportunity to have a real go at it. And he didn't take advantage.
And he didn't give you anything. Like he had, that was somebody else. He really didn't give you anything. And then you saw that moment when Cephas gets past two US players out on the left-hand side and like runs in and creates a chance. It's a weak shot. It's straight at Turner. But at the same time, like, he beats Tillman and Scally. It's like, they were completely off it. The passing was really poor. I definitely don't think that surface helped. I mean, if this is the surfaces we're expecting for the Copa America, then we're like, there's going to be a lot of complaints. Ball, like, it looks soft. It was dead in certain spots. It was bobbly in others. I'm not making excuses, but against Jamaica, you want a surface where you can move the ball and move them around. Mm-hmm. Crucially, and that never happened. Jamaica's organization was great. They had played with three center halves, and when they went to a five, they were hugely disciplined. And obviously, as they tired throughout the game, there was more and more of a kind of ceding of territory and of advantage to the US. So the early press, it was clear, we're going to press early and long enough to get our goal, and then we're going to retreat somewhat. And that's exactly what they did. Now, the problem for the US was exactly that once a couple of breakaways that they did have, a couple of runs were from turnovers and were from winning the ball back or being able to play through the Jamaican press. They didn't do it well enough or regularly enough, but when they did do it, they saw open grass and they looked good, and they looked like they'd score attacking against Jamaica. The worst thing that happened for the US was when they were basically told, all right, Jamaica are going to sit in now. You have to be creative. Mm. You have to move these guys around, find little passes, find little angles. We are absolutely terrible at that. And the only times in that second half that we looked like we could do anything, and it was only really twice, two clever balls, was when Gio Reyna was on the field.
Yep.
Now, in extra time, that pinnacle, that ability, when the game got stretched and Jamaica were out on their feet, that beautiful ball for Hadji Wright, beautiful two balls for his two goals, that's where you saw the quality of Reyna. If he doesn't play, we We have none of that. And it still remains to be seen whether he can do that against top-class opposition.
Sure.
But
although
hang on. Hold that thought for a second. We have none of that otherwise. If a team sits in, we're in trouble. We struggle so much. Unless they're... And this is a team that is not... I mean, it's like you said, their B team. It's not a high-quality team. And look how we labored. It was so hard to watch.
So two thoughts on all of that there. First on Reyna, I just want to say that the official position of this podcast is we are not crazy. He's good. We're not crazy. Because I see it. Once he goes back to club play and he can't get on and, you know, you start to see he's trending on Twitter and you know, people come out of the woodwork to say, you know, I just don't get it with this guy. Why is everyone so obsessed with him? He's not that good. He's good. He's different than, like you just said, than pretty much any other guy on this team. He brings something that's different that no one else on this team really offers in the same way that he does. There's a vision. There's a creativity with passing with him that is just different, and he's good. I don't know that that necessarily means he has to start. You know, fitness is obviously a big concern with him, but no more of the, like, if there's people out there debating whether or not Gio Reyna should be a part of this team, is he overrated? He belongs on this team and he should be playing every game in some form or another, whether that's from minute zero or whether that's coming on as a sub at some point to impact the game. He should be playing every, if he's healthy, he plays. He's just different and they need a guy like him. That is, I guess I will speak for you as well. That is the official position of this podcast. Now, the other thing that I would say with what you said there, when Jamaica started to put 9-10 guys behind the ball, it is hard for the U.S. It's hard to watch. They struggle. It can be painful. The one thing I would say to that is, like, I think that a lot of national teams that don't have a lot of time playing together, I think the U.S. are in a tier. We're not France. We're not England. We're not Brazil, Argentina, Spain. Like, we're not one of those. We know this. Like, we know we're a couple tiers down from that. And I think we're in a tier where, whether it's Jamaica's B team or whoever, I think a lot of teams like us will struggle in a situation like that. Down a goal, the other team is just setting up a fortress and they're going to defend and choke the hell out of the game. Mm. And it's hard. And I think that the U.S. are one of those teams where it's going to be hard for us to break that down.
We'll probably do better against teams who want to keep the ball and we have less of the ball. We'll probably be better in transition.
Maybe.
Because there'll be that green grass there for us, as I said before, because we don't have the creativity.
Although Berhalter has never said, like, we're going to be a counter-attacking team. Like, he does not...
No, he's always said we're going to be front foot, but, like... I mean, at times it works, at times it doesn't. I just thought tonight... Yeah, it was depressing to watch, it really was. And, just nothing cohesive. Tempo was off. I was chatting to Keith Costigan of Fox about this, and he made the same point I did. You know, there isn't that creativity in the side, so you have to up the tempo, move the ball sharp, quickly, get balls into feet, you know, play off other people. We saw a couple of ones. We saw a McKennie chance, I think, in the second half, where, yeah, it was 59 minutes. McKennie pings it into Balogun. Balogun plays it around the corner. McKennie runs onto it again. Like, you need that kind of thing, but you need it constantly. You need to get in that rhythm. And they never really got into that rhythm.
And I think you can tell, too, when guys are pressing a little bit. Not pressing, like, pressuring. I mean, like, pressing, like, feeling the heat of the moment and it gets to them and their play. Like, Pulisic at the end of the first half. Again, I believe he's our best player on this team. One of the best players in maybe American history. Like, to me, when he gets the ball, he goes by a guy, he's in position now from a difficult angle, and he decides to go it alone, and it's a, you know, from a tough angle, it's a weak attempt, and it goes by the wayside, and that's the end of the half. He's got two guys. If he lays it off, he's got, I forget who the two were, but he's got two guys centrally. Where, play that ball. Like, just make the easy pass to two wide-open players who are in the box, and, like, you start to see guys like him, guys who you really trust, making decisions that cause you to scratch your head a little bit. It's like, what's going on here? I don't know. Yeah, some of that is probably cohesion. You know, that this is a team that just they haven't seen each other, they haven't been around each other in a long time.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of it is that. Some of it was the pressure of the moment. You know, guys starting to just kind of get in their heads a little bit. Everybody trying to play hero ball, maybe. I don't know. I know it was disappointing. And regarding the tying goal, I mean, what can you say? It's one of the luckiest moments that I can remember for U.S. soccer. Like, there's nothing. I guess Pulisic's ball is fine. Miles Robinson hits it sideways, and like it goes off Corey Burke's head.
Oh my God!
I don't know.
He has no idea what's happening.
No, like I have no analysis for a moment like that, other than just like when it happened, I was like, did I just see that? I'm waiting for a flag. I'm waiting for something because we can't win this game. We can't get this to extra time. We like you say, deserve is nothing, but like this is the cruelest of the cruel. If this is how this is going to end here in regulation and give the U.S. a chance to win. But I mean, look, I'll take it. I want to win the game. I don't want to punish the players with a defeat. Like, let's win and try to make up for it on Sunday. But I did feel sympathy for Jamaica. Today was a horrifying day for Jamaican football in this moment where we've talked about over the last 6 months or so. Like, it felt like they're on the up. There's a clear base of talent right now in that national team program that is impressive. And then you get today where obviously, you know, some guys can't play through injury, but Leon Bailey is suspended for breaking curfew the last time this team was together. So he's not going to play in this game. And then he gives an interview on the, what was it? The Let's Be Honest podcast, where he goes scorched earth on Jamaican football, not his teammates or players, but you know, he wants things to improve. And he says, and he might be their best player right now. He's stepping away. In his prime, right now, when Jamaica is supposed to be in this good moment, Leon Bailey is stepping away and calling out everything that's wrong right now with the Jamaican national team as a program. He went through, they're very unprofessional. You're getting your flight details sent to you at 11 p.m. at night. I don't remember the last time I received a dollar from the Jamaica national team. When I say unprofessional, you don't have equipment for you. You go there's only one shirt. You turn up to a game, you see a woman's shirt. It's ridiculous. Whenever I'm there, it's like they don't know how to operate. When I go, I feel exposed. Any person can bring a camera to my face. I mean, he's probably not making this stuff up. Now, he might be angry and bitter because, like I said, he was suspended for this. So, you know, maybe he has some kind of ulterior motive here.
You imagine if he played tonight, Andrew?
Oh,
we're going out.
Yeah.
We're going
out. If Mikel Antonio play, like if that Jamaican squad is the Jamaican squad, yeah, we did not.
And the
play
U.S.
well
come
enough.
Up with that weak tee.
Yeah, we didn't play well enough to win that game. But so Jamaica, so they have that all comes out today, and then they lose. I mean, it's got to be one of the worst losses that a Jamaican fan can remember recently. You've got a B team out there, and you got your foot on the throat of the U.S., and then 95. Plus, I don't know what minute we were in exactly, but on a bizarre bounce own goal. That's horrifying. That's a brutal day.
Yeah.
That's
we've
brutal.
We've got a thread on the animals have put together that I do want to get to. It's called F Off Berhalter. But I mean, there is good comments in it. It's not what you think. The comment from the original poster, if anyone wants to bring the quote, they play in different leagues and need time to gel, close quotes. Why did you make it look organized and working together? That is the thing for me tonight. To come in so cold for Jamaica didn't just have a plan. Jamaica had a plan for throw-ins. Jamaica had a way that we're gonna smash and grab here. Although smashing and grabbing, don't think you can truly do a smash and grab in the first minute of the game.
Yeah, I don't.
But they had a plan. They had a plan how to get at the US, and it absolutely worked. And. Yeah, I mean, you were talking about hero ball, forcing things, lack of passing, lack of, you know, just a general cohesive plan. The U.S., yeah, that was the U.S. to a T, and they were just seconds away. In fact, the time had elapsed when that header went into the net. Just, yeah, I feel for Jamaica. I would have had no sympathy for the U.S. if they went out, and there would have been serious questions to be asked. Do you want me to read some of the comments while we're here before we get to extra time, or do you want to do extra time? Then we'll do these comments.
Let's do extra time, and then we'll go through some of the fan
reactions.
There's
some interesting stuff here.
Good. I'm sure there is. I trust the animals. They're good with these things. JJ, look, if there's any positive to take from tonight, we talked about Gio Reyna. That was nice to see. That was legitimately nice to see. And Haji Wright. Yeah. I mean, those are – now, look, I know the second one maybe was a little bit by accident. The ball kind of got caught in his feet, but he recovered, and his finish was actually really good into the side
netting.
Yes, it was. Look, I'm not saying Greg was wrong to have left Haji Wright off of the initial squad. Obviously, he's there as an injury replacement for Sargent. However, there is a dilemma now. After this game tonight, there's officially a dilemma here. Because Balogun, for whatever the hype is, like, have we seen it?
Eh.
Right? But other guys here are not eh right now. Now, you can look at the leagues they're in and make your own determinations as to, okay, well, Balogun's in league, you know, is that better than what Josh Sargent and Haji Wright are doing in the English Championship? I don't know. Everybody can come to their own determinations there. But I know that Balogun has been so-so in league, maybe average at best. Mm. And his performances with the U.S. have kind of mirrored that. And meanwhile, I see guys like Sargent, who's scoring every week. I know he wasn't an option tonight. Pepe, who I think his role is what his role is right now. I don't look at him as a starter. I think he, as a sub, when we need a goal, I think it's that's fine. I'm good with that. And Haji Wright, who's up to what, like 15 goals in the league this season, just came on, you know, scored in a World Cup for the U.S., came on tonight, scored two huge goals in extra time of a semifinal. Like, there's officially a discussion to be had right now about who our number nine is. It's not, this is not Balogun's for life.
No, and you'd have to ask a question based on tonight. What is Balogun giving you that you think Haji Wright cannot? That is the question. Now, I would think Balogun is slightly more mobile in that quick way that Greg wants that front three to be. And that Haji Wright...
But if you have Pulisic and Weah, do you need that from your... Like, those are two guys who are fast and can do the running.
So your idea would be just for him to be like an out-and-out center forward. Like, but
maybe.
Okay. But like, you know, say he drops in, defender's tight to him, receives the ball, plays it back, and then spins. Who's quicker? Who's going to be more nimble? Maybe it's Balogun. But to be honest with you, you didn't see it tonight. You haven't seen a lot of it at all. And Haji Wright comes in and scored two goals and took it, like you said, took the second one. It was a beautiful ball from Reyna. Pass actually looks better the more you watch it. It seems simple at first, but he's got to play it through some Jamaican channels. The first touch isn't great, but still he recovers and swivels nicely and finishes the ball for the 2-1, the go-ahead goal.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It really is. Now, I will say it has Jamaica out of their shell, but it had to be scored. Pulisic does the hard yards, gets it to Reyna, and Reyna does the finesse. Lovely weighted pass. In goes Wright, goes and finishes it well. So you're right. There's a legitimate debate here. What has Balogun done, like I said, that you think Haji Wright can't do or hasn't done? I think he deserves a shot. He really does. Now, like I said, I still think Greg has this idea of like this interchangeable, nippy front three. And I think that changes with him because you're right. He'll probably operate between the two 18-yard lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hold the ball up, spin him behind if he can, get on the end, headers, crosses. But you know what? He might give us something else.
Well, his two goals tonight were not like, that was him making runs behind the line. It wasn't like hold right. up play. It was...
No. But like, I'm trying to say, flesh out all the things he'll give you, Andrew, because he's not always going to be in on goal all the time like that. Why not? Like, why not? Sargent's not there. We know what Pepe does. Balogun has shown us not a ton. And Wright's got two goals. Surely he starts. Surely both Wright and Reyna start the next game. Surely.
I mean, Sunday will be very interesting. Greg has some interesting decisions to make in terms of what that starting 11 will be. It was nice to see Tyler Adams get a little bit of run out there. Don't know that he made a huge impact, but boy, when Greg in extra time made the decision to take him off, which I get, you know, I wonder if there were conversations with Bournemouth about, you know, just how much are you planning on using this guy? He only just got back. I understand that they're looking out for a greater good here with Tyler Adams' health. But as soon as Berhalter made that decision, he probably knew right away, this is not going to go over well. Adams wasn't happy.
I wonder what the directive from Bournemouth was, like specifically. Because Adams,
I'm sure was a minute restriction that he was probably operating on. Berhalter maybe has been asked. We recorded this right after the game ended, so I haven't seen any comments.
I'm going to check in a second. I'll check some of the Twitter to see.
It was good to see him get back into the squad here, and we'll see what sort of availability he has for Sunday. Sunday's going to be interesting. This took a lot out of this team tonight. So I don't
cramping.
Know.
I mean,
yeah,
I
don't know if
like,
they're going to be getting an exhausted group out there on Sunday or a motivated one. Hopefully the latter.
Well, God, I mean, it's one of those things. Like every time the U.S. play Mexico, it's, and I'm assuming it'll be Mexico. I'm just doing that right now.
Oh, you are.
It's a cup final, isn't it?
And this, well, this is quite literally a cup
final. This is quite literally a cup final. But you could assemble them at 20 minutes notice and say you're meeting in McCarran Park, Brooklyn, and it would become a cup final. There is no friendlies between these two. Remember that game in New Jersey where I think we lost 3-1 or whatever? And we felt like it was early Berhalter, fall of 2019. And I think everybody was like, oh God, I don't know. We're years behind them. Oh no.
Things can change quickly.
But yeah, but that game was fierce, and that was down as a friendly. It was absolutely, yeah. The atmosphere was crazy. So so you'd be hoping they'd be able to get up for it. But that was a physical game on a heavy field.
Oh my, I mean, Damian Lowe tackling Chris Richards. I don't know how Richards stayed up. I mean, Lowe was that guy all night.
And like I said, I was so annoyed with Pulisic sometimes. Like, protect yourself, man. Don't run. Don't try. These guys are going to have you. You know?
Yeah. One thing I also wanted to mention, something that you brought up at the start of the show, JJ, about the makeup of the stadium, how it was. I mean, look, let's call it what it is. Like, the tickets were entirely bought up by Mexican fans, and they had no interest in watching that first game. I think
it's the utter disrespect.
I don't know what sort of financial constraints they're operating under. I don't know any of the details. All I know is from like a logistics standpoint, play these games at different sites. Otherwise, this, like, especially if you're gonna put Mexico second, like, their fans buy up all the tickets.
Yeah.
And they don't care about the first game. If you put them first, their fans are going to buy up all the tickets and they won't care about the second game. No matter what, you're getting a bad optic visually for what you deem to be an important match, and it's going to be an empty stadium. I feel like these if you care about the visual, and maybe they don't, maybe they just care that the tickets have been bought. That might be the bottom line. They don't give a damn about what it looks like on TV. But if you do care about what it looks like, if you do want a good atmosphere for both games, you got to put them at different sites, because this is, as long as Mexico are involved, this is it. This is what this will look like all the time.
It looks so bad. Like, it really did. I'm like, there's no one here. And, you know, even in the worst attended U.S. games, you can see the American Outlaws collected behind one of the goals. I couldn't see anyone. It was really bad, and it definitely added to this sense of weirdness.
Yeah.
You know, they're 1-0 down immediately against a team that's been decimated by, I suppose, if you want to call it, infighting and missing players. Mm-hmm. And they can't get the rhythm, they can't get things going. And yeah, the stands, there's nothing to get them going from the stands. Creepy experience.
The other thing that I was thinking of, JJ, whether it's CONCACAF, I guess it's a CONCACAF thing. This was very cruel in the sense that U.S. soccer has spent a generation essentially training us into believing that the kickoff time is not the kickoff time. Yeah, it says 7 o'clock, but we'll get going around 7:26. And they've tricked us for years. Oh, and yeah. I think finally American fans think that they're catching up and getting wise to this whole act. Yeah. Yeah, you say 7 o'clock, my ass. All right, I'll get there when I'm ready, because I know that you guys aren't starting at tonight. 7 o'clock and 1 second, bang. 7 o'clock and 30 seconds, goal. Like, for American fans out there that have been trained into thinking that you don't have to be there right when they say to be there, you miss the goal tonight. So I guess this is, we'll forever be guessing as to when these games truly begin. Because I don't know. Everybody check in at the listed time.
I should say Google had it right tonight.
Yeah, so, everyone had 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
but that's usually the case.
Yeah, but some of the animals were reporting six. But they might have been in
Central time. I don't know.
You're right, Andrew. Yeah. By the way, we should check in on Panama and Mexico.
It's 0-0 in the 33rd.
Right. Okay. Well, I wanted to do, we're not doing play-by-play.
Are you watching it?
No. We're not allowed to play by play. One shot on target each. Oh, Panama have had four shots.
Well, there's no sense in breaking it down.
One on target. Mexico, after 34 minutes, only one shot.
No.
Huh.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, we'll see. It could be Panama. Who knows? They can be a bogey team in this region. But it's silly to break it down. It's happened. Trying to think if there's any other things I wanted to mention tonight. I don't really care. We obsessed over it before the World Cup, so I guess it does bear mentioning now that the U.S. debuted their new kits. They're fine. I was extremely harsh about the ones that they wore for the World Cup. I'm honest with these things of how I feel. These are fine. I'm not running out
no,
to the
I
store.
Hate them.
Oh, hate them. Well, hate them.
Oh,
okay.
God, they're That's... awful. Yeah, they just look. It's like a plain. It's just plain blue. Like it looks.
What do you mean? It's mostly red.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's like red with like
it's
a white
red at the
sash and then
bottom.
And blue. That's half and half. I don't know.
No, it's not even half and half, friend. It's much closer to the bottom where it breaks off into the red and white or whatever it is. I don't like it. It's not for me. And the Jamaican kits are so fire. Unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah, oh my
totally
God.
Totally normal. I don't have any.
And on the day where Germany break a 70-year-old association with Adidas. Oh my God. To say that they're going with Nike. My world's being turned upside down.
That is weird.
Oh,
Adidas
so
is such
odd.
An inherently German.
I mean, they had rules for so long that every German player had to wear Adidas cleats and football boots. It was all Adidas gear for so long, and it's iconic. And they've had some really iconic jerseys, and now they're going with Nike. No, 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 that's wrong. So it brings us back to our conversation before. You know, sometimes the brand, the jersey supplier, those who make the kits, it does matter. In the case of Germany, they were like they felt tight at the hip. I'm still not over it.
Well, I feel awful. I hope you're okay. I hate to see you this way. You have any more on this game? I don't know what else to say. It was largely disappointing, but relief. I mean, this to me is like, look, you got March Madness going on right now. We could be Kentucky right now. They lost to Oakland tonight. You know, I think you'd rather play like garbage and win. You know, a lot of teams out there in March Madness, a lot of 12s are going to, or a lot of, you know, four seeds are going to squeak by 13s and relief. You just feel relief. It's not, you don't go back into the locker room and celebrate and you know, go crazy. It's relief. It's okay. We live to see another day. That's all this is relief.
Could you imagine the fume? Could you imagine the absolute explosion if they went back to the locker room and there was someone did like the locker room picks?
Oh, yeah, that can't. No, that we're not going to see that, right?
No,
they
no
gotta
chance.
have,
No
they
chance.
gotta, this team has enough.
Oh.
Self-awareness, I believe. I don't have much else on this game tonight, JJ. You have
No,
anything else?
no, I don't really. I don't.
Okay. 3-1, the U.S. win in extra time, and they will play on Sunday. Let's go ahead. We'll take a break. A couple other things that I do want to mention on the other side here. Still more caught offside. Don't go anywhere.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, back now, late on a Thursday night. Something else I actually do want to mention, kind of pertaining to the U.S., Mexico. So, Chucky Lozano, he had some thoughts on Tata Martino's stint as Mexican manager. It was an interview with David Faitelson, and it was not in English. So Hercules Gomez kind of posted some of the bullet points from it on Twitter. He said, Chucky Lozano tells David Faitelson that Tata Martino treated the Mexican national team players like little kids, military-like atmosphere, and that the World Cup was the final straw. That's two different El Tri players that have spoken ill of Tata today. Edson Alvarez was the other. He had some pointed comments as well about Tata from the game against Argentina that he didn't play in. He was clearly red hot about that.
Like, just we have to take them at their word. We weren't behind the scenes. But just as a person, does Tata strike you as a strict disciplinarian? Because he doesn't to me.
No, I guess. I think I would kind of agree with you, but I don't know what that's based on. I don't know. I don't think our opinion on that really carries a whole lot of weight. But that's the thing. So by the same token, so you had that coming from Mexican players about Tata Martino. And then Yunus Musa said this to Michel Giannone of Tudun.
This is more damning, by the way, considering the way they played tonight.
So Musa said this. He said, the group loves Greg because Greg loves the group. He helps us a lot outside the field, and that's key. The treatment is people first. We give everything for him on the field. I do wonder, with national team play, like, are we reaching a point now with today's player? And I'm trying to kind of think through this thought as I say it, so bear with me. But I wonder, there's so much, you know, these guys aren't really getting paid for what they do with their national teams. And yet the pressure is extremely high. Legacies are made on what these guys do in very limited appearances with these teams. The focus on this, it's extremely high. I do wonder if they're like, if there is an element of, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to put myself through this, like, it's got to be a harmonious atmosphere around the team. Like what we've seen with Gareth Southgate and England, where he's just totally changed the tone because he knows the stress of being an English player and what that entails. And so he's just come in and, look, maybe you'll have an issue with his tactics, but damn it, we're going to get along. We're going to be friends, right, and it's going to be fun here. You know, Berhalter, much the same. Like, again, criticizes tactics, but it's what we hear chapter and verse from every player except Gio Reyna. They all love him, that there's good vibes in the camp, that the team, you know, that it seems like they all get along, and they all say this chapter and verse about Greg. And then you see this stuff about Tata Martino, that, you know, it's military and players, you know, we're seeing Leon Bailey air his grievances with some of the things that have happened with Jamaica. Like, I just wonder if you're going to be a national team manager now, if you kind of have to go in with the attitude of, this is going to be a happy place. Otherwise, this doesn't work in this day and age with the modern player.
I tend to agree with you. And because it's such a short, sharp period of time, you have to leave a good impression. Otherwise, they're going away thinking, that was rubbish. That was terrible.
I don't need this.
Yeah. And I mean, like, speaking from my own experience, that's what Jack Charlton was able to do with Ireland. Like, they loved him and they loved their time with him and they played for him. The only thing damning about what Yunus Musa said is because he says it right before they put in their worst performance under Greg, arguably. So, yeah. But no, you're right. Atmosphere is so important. International football is so far behind, like, club football. We know that. Yeah. We can see that. So you got to make the most of your time. And if people are going into an atmosphere that's military-like or overly regimented or isn't a break from their club, like, isn't a mental break from their club, they're going to rebel against that. They're only human.
Yeah, and maybe it's always been that way, but there's something about a modern player that I just feel like there's a level of pressure I feel like these guys are under between, I don't know, there's so much media coverage. Social media is endless. You know, they can never escape it. The microscope that they're under. I think with the national team, they need a happy environment to be in. Otherwise, yeah, you're going to get a lot of, I don't need this. I make my money with my club team. I don't need this.
That's going to come up later in a segment.
Yeah. So speaking of which, let's look at some stuff happening around the world. England going to face Brazil in a very high profile friendly at Wembley this Saturday. This happened maybe a week and a half ago. We haven't had a chance to speak on it yet. The Ben White situation. I don't know. I have not talked to you about this. I'm very curious what you make of it. If you have any problem with his decision to remove himself from consideration.
I don't. And it's kind of going off what we've just said. The Telegraph article kind of illuminated why White doesn't want to be considered for selection. And I'm kind of okay with it. His professionalism was questioned. So this is from, I read this on Football 365, and it's coming from the Telegraph article. The fallout that eventually led to White asking to come home from England's Doha base at the World Cup in November of that year started with a conversation between the player and Haaland, so we know as the assistant manager, Gareth's right-hand man, in front of other members of the squad. It was described by sources as having begun when Haaland asked Kyle Walker a question relating to Manchester City's performance in the previous season. When he asked the same of White relating to Arsenal, the 26-year-old said that he did not know the answer. It is claimed Haaland responded by saying that that was because White was not sufficiently interested in football. It was that moment that ultimately led the player to ask to come home on November 30th. The exchange was understood to have been days before the player asked to leave the England camp in Doha. Until that request was delivered, Southgate and his staff thought that there was no longer an issue between White and Haaland. There was no row or clash, public or private, between the pair. Subsequent to the initial comment from Haaland, the two men did exchange their views in a private conversation on the same day. And what Southgate's saying now is, no, there's no issue. Nothing ever happened. Well, there was. And also what's come up on Twitter, like the response has been, you know, this guy only cares about being on a sunbed, you know, this kind of stuff. This guy, remember what he said? Was it like 3 or 4 years ago now, Andrew? He said, oh, I actually don't watch much football. I never have. I'm not really...
He basically said, you know, when I'm there at work, I care. But when I go home, I shut it off.
And he said, I love playing. That's what I love to do. But I don't watch it. I don't, you know, I've never watched it.
Yeah.
And this has kind of been used as a stick to beat him with. And I, like, it was Matt Stead on Football 365 that kind of made the case for how this was badly handled by Southgate. And you were saying that it was all about atmosphere and vibes. Well, his assistant, Haaland, speaking to a player like Ben White in that fashion, if this is how it went down, that is an example of a decay in that atmosphere or in that kind of camaraderie, because that's nowhere to speak to a professional, as Matt Stead pointed out, that has started his career at the bottom rungs, played in League 2 and League 1, played under Bielsa at Leeds, was crucial to them. Do you think if a player wasn't sufficiently interested in football in terms of being a pro, enough to be a pro, that he'd survive under like someone like Bielsa? No.
And I'd be curious to hear Bielsa's view on him.
I think Bielsa loved him and thought he was the top pro, a model pro. Would what are we talking about Bielsa? Arteta wouldn't have him around the place. Just because he doesn't go home and watch matches of the day doesn't mean that he doesn't care about his profession or he's not sufficiently interested. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of top guys, because you see them when they come on as pundits, and they don't know anybody and they don't know anything outside of their own experience. Like, the idea that a footballer, that's all he thinks about, is insane.
Yeah.
Listen, if that's the way it went down, I think he's well within his rights not to play for England. And if you like the argument that's been made by England fans is, well, you know, come on, it's England, it's your country. There's crippled boys in an orphanage who would love the chance to play for England, but they'll never. And for him to just throw it away and walk away from it, it's a disgrace. Yeah. Kind of like that.
I would tend to agree with you. I think it's his right to say, nah, I'm good. I do think that, you know, I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall when that comment was made.
Yeah.
Because I do wonder.
And how was it delivered?
That's the thing. Tone. What was their relationship prior to that? If they had a good relationship, maybe Steve Haaland thought he could get away with a comment like that and it would be taken kind of joking. Like, everybody knows. That's the thing, is like, there's no secret around Ben White. Everyone has this same opinion of him, that he happens to be really good at this thing that we're not sure how much he loves. Now, that might be false. He might, like he said, he loves the sport. He just doesn't. He's not like a consumer of it. He just loves to play it. But like, this is a narrative that has existed around him for years. So like, maybe Steve Haaland thought he could make a comment and it would be taken as a joke, and Ben White didn't. I don't know. I'd be curious. The fact that it's turned into this, him refusing to play for the country, I'm a little
metastasized.
Yeah. I find that a little surprising. So yeah, I don't know. But it doesn't help England. I mean, Ben White's having a fantastic season at Arsenal, and I'm sure England would like to have his services. I mean, he's added to his game. The ball that he can play in now on a cross, he's deadly. So it's a loss for England to not have him. Another potential loss for England, JJ, is that speculation is starting to build regarding Gareth Southgate potentially becoming the next Manchester United manager.
So where did this start? Because I haven't got to that part of I was watching Stick to Football this morning, and I didn't get all the way through to where they talk about him being a potential.
I don't know where it started. I just know that it's out there. Who keeps track of these things? I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't love it.
I figured.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. He's not a Man United. He may not be a top flight club manager. That's the thing. How is he a Man United manager? Like, just even stylistically. Just think of him on the sideline at Old Trafford. And think of what Man United fans expect from their teams. No. A conservative, cautious manager with a very good winning record at international level. That's... Like, for example, if Carlos Queiroz was... if it was said he was coming back, how would they be? And he's ex-United. He spent time as Alex Ferguson's number two. God, yeah. No. No.
That was my favorite part of the Beckham documentary, when Beckham was so thrilled to have gotten away from him, and then he went to Real Madrid. I enjoyed that. Yeah, I don't think I'm a little weary of this as well. Southgate at Manchester United. I don't know. It's hard to know exactly what Southgate's style of play is, because I do wonder if managers tailor their style to the international game. I've always said that I think a style that is a little less attack focused and more defensive minded is more effective in international play. So maybe he'd go to Manchester United and he might do things differently there. So it's hard to know exactly how to analyze what he would be like at United, but I don't know. Maybe United thinks it's a press conference they could win, because Southgate, I think he's built up goodwill among England fans. I think generally there's a decent approval rating of him, although it's not unanimous. There's a lot of people out there like yourself that think they could be more than what they are. But I mean, also the best era of English football that we've seen in a long time. So
that's true too, Andrew. And he's never going to get back to the heights of 2018. Like 2018, he could walk on water. Mm. And even 2021, when they got to the final. Everything right before the final of Euro 2020, which was played in 21, everything right before the final, he untouchable.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be something interesting to monitor.
I can't see it. If that's what they do when they come in, if this is what the big change in Manchester United's thinking is, it would surprise me. But this is a club that nearly appointed Sven Göran Eriksson. Nearly appointed him. When Fergie said he was going to leave the first time, and Eriksson was at England, even though it was clear at that point by 2002 that this guy may not be able to deliver for England.
We'll see. Let's see. Real quick, by the way, JJ, it's 2-0 Mexico at the half, so we're steamrolling towards another US-Mexico.
CONCACAF officials are delighted.
Yeah, breathing a sigh of relief right now. Yeah. Before we get out, just want to mention the Olympic draw happened. U.S. women drawn into a tough group with Germany and Australia, and then the winner of Zambia, Morocco, and that playoff. And by the way, take a look at Zambia's squad. I mean, some really high-profile talent that have recently transferred into NWSL. Barbara Banda, I mean, that's... So if they win, they'll have to, you know, it could be Morocco. But if it's a group of the U.S., Germany, Australia, and Zambia, oof, good luck. I mean, this will be a nice early test for Emma Hayes. The men, meanwhile, fielding what will be an under-23 group, drawn into a group featuring France, New Zealand, and the winner of Guinea versus an Asian team yet to be determined. But the first game will be the U.S. against the host nation, France.
Yeah. Mm.
So we shall. Shall see. And finally, JJ, before we get out, the U.S. Open Cup.
I had a few things I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start with El Farolito, an MPSL team funded by a burrito. I was going to say one burrito joint. They have a chain. They've got more than one. but funded by that, traveled to Portland and smashed the Timbers 2-1. They outshot the Timbers 20 shots to 9 and 7 shots on target to 3. Mm-hmm. Now, Patrick Redford of Defector spoke to the El Farolito manager, Santiago Lopez. So this is what Patrick asked. So obviously
it's the Timbers 2, by the way.
I don't give a damn. This is what MLS deserves. I don't care. I'm delighted that this is happening. Delighted. I want all next two teams and next pro teams to get destroyed.
I'm just saying, if you're going to say who it is, it's
Portland
a little...
Timbers. They play them at.
But it's their
Portland Timbers. It's the team they entered, Andrew. So obviously yesterday was a big result. Could you put in context for us, is that the biggest result you've had since you became head coach? I took over 14 years ago. We were in the San Francisco Soccer League and we qualified to the Open Cup through the amateur track, through the open track. In the past, that's been 2 games. Sometimes it's been 4 games. But because we are now in the National Premier Soccer League, which is the national league, we have to compete within our league. And then the top teams in our league qualify directly to the Open Cup. So this is our third time that we've qualified to the Open Cup through the NPSL, in addition to 2 times through the open track. This competition is amazing and is a doorway for players and or just guys to live their dreams. And the disrespect that's been shown is absolutely shocking to me. Yeah. It's disgraceful. And then, of course, Andrew, there's the story of a retired player coming out of retirement and helping out his local side.
It's incredible.
Yes, it is. Have we had him on the podcast?
Good question.
Pretty sure we had. Anyway, Sasha Kleshchen, as James Knowlton tweets, former United States international Sasha Kleshchen came out of retirement to play in the US Open for semi-pro side Des Moines Menace last night. He assisted a goal and scored what turned out to be the winning penalty in the shootout versus Capo FC. Now, there's also photos circulating that show the local lacrosse team was training, and so the US Open Cup game did not start on time because the lacrosse training ate into the...
Yeah, Men in Blazers tweeted that. Kickoff for the US Open Cup match between Capo FC and Des Moines Menace was delayed on Wednesday night due to, checks notes, high school lacrosse practice.
I don't care. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Embrace American grassroots football and all its madness. Hashtag keep the Open Cup weird.
Absolutely, because there's a consensus that... was beginning to emerge and that MLS wants to emerge, that there is no soccer in this country outside of MLS, but there right. is, and it should be fostered and encouraged, and the pyramid matters. And just some lovely stories. I just thought I'd bring to your attention.
No, I appreciate it. I saw those things.
No, you didn't. Because you hate the ordinary man. No.
I literally read it from my rundown.
And also, we have to check in. How did the liquor joint do? How did Christos do?
That I don't know.
Oh, let me check. I have to see.
You're really, really putting me on the spot.
We got a... Oh, no. They lost to a storied side in U.S. soccer, or used to be, Richmond Kickers.
Oh, okay.
They lost 1-0. Adrian Bilhart, right on the stroke of halftime. Quality player. 1-0 to Richmond. And so it would have been amazing if somehow there could have been the burrito joint versus the liquor store. Like, that's a Friday night for me. Get a burrito.
Oh, man.
Anyway, God bless this competition. It's amazing.
Yeah. And God bless this podcast, JJ. God bless the United States of America and all their glory. We'll have another one of these. We'll be back Sunday night. We'll have another one of these as the U.S. presumably will be taking on Mexico, going for their third straight CONCACAF Nations League title. JJ, I got nothing left. I'm beat. And I look forward to doing this again, hopefully after another win and hopefully after a performance. Now, I guess that's a question. If it's against Mexico and it's for a title, but the performance looks like this, but they win again.
Oh, I mean,
are we still mad? Or does the fact that it was a Jamaican B team? Like,
hey, if we put in that performance, we don't beat Mexico.
No, I wouldn't think so either. But I mean, the sport is weird. Like you say, deserve is nothing. We've said that time and time again. We'll see. We'll cross that bridge if we get there. Hopefully we don't. Hopefully it's a nice, comprehensive.
Before we go, do you think I was too harsh to begin the podcast?
I think we both reflected the thoughts of most American fans out there. Now, the only thing I'll say is we recorded this immediately after the game ended.
Right.
Maybe there will be people who listen to this Friday afternoon when like some of those feelings have subsided a little bit.
Right.
That are like people who are starting to get excited for the Mexico game on Sunday.
And they'll be like, what are these guys talking about?
Right. They might be like, wow, these guys really went over the top with how mad they were after this win. Like, just be happy we won. But again, you have to remember the game ended and we recorded. So emotions are still somewhat raw. But like we said, it is a win, 3-1. Haji Wright putting in a great performance off the bench. And Sunday night should be fun. Looking forward to it. JJ, I always enjoy this. To you, I say...
check it later, fun boy.
I'll see ya.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Caught Offside Soccer Podcast.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.